What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to the Challenge Podcast, more specifically, the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm Coach Steve, and I'm here with
Coach Nick.
Coach Nick.
Hello.
Welcome, Coach Nick. Nick, let's jump into it. I've got a question for you. Did you ever play video games throughout your life?
I did. I played Super Mario.
Super Mario, a quality platformer. Yeah. Good old Super Mario. I remember that having a Nintendo when I was very small, and I slowly progressed into a PlayStation, and then I adopted full gamer mode when I was a teen. So for me, I played lots of video games through my teenage years, and maybe that led to me becoming slightly larger than I wanted to be as a teenager, which then led me to losing a lot of weight, which led me into the gym, which led me into where I am now. So maybe Coach Steve, when he was a teenager, playing lots of video games led me to where I am now. But I think deep down, I'm a little bit of a dork, a little bit of a nerd. But when I was younger, I used to play lots of this game. It was an online game. It's a role-playing game called World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft became quite popular in the early 2000s, where you'd play this little avatar online, and it's a big community. There was a couple million people playing this game. And as part of this game, you'd be a certain character, and your goal was to kind of level up over time, and then fight different enemies and different bosses and unlock different armor and stuff like that. And you role play this character. Now, each character had certain abilities that you could use. So for example, I was like a wizard, because I'm a wizard, right? And I'd like shoot 100%. I'd shoot a fireball at somebody, or like a frost ball, or like I would, blink quickly over there and teleport to another area, that type of thing. And whenever I was fighting another enemy, like a boss, I originally would just use all my spells at once, right? And so I'd, shoot the fireball and shoot the little like laser and, shoot my wand and all the things all at once, right? And what ended up happening was that each one of these spells had a certain cooldown, and that could be like, 30 seconds or a minute or something like that. So I can utilize all my spells at once, but then I'm left vulnerable after that, big kind of explosion of everything. And then I end up dying really quickly. Then as I got better playing this game, I learned to kind of pace myself. So I might, use one spell, then use like my wand, and then use another spell, and then like run over there to get out of the way, and then use another spell. So I kind of paced myself over time. And this is a learning experience over, managing some of the assets that I have, some of the skills that I had. And then I became a better player. Now, the point of this story is that my time as a gamer is no different to my time as a fitness person. And that's going to be the topic that we're going to be talking about today, which is kind of, utilizing your spells or utilizing your assets or utilizing your cards and not playing all your cards at once. Not being like a young gamer like myself, where you utilize all the things at once and then be left vulnerable and be like, well, what do? You're going to die really quickly, but you're not going to die in this scenario. But I guess what we see in the challenge and in our fitness careers is that when someone starts a process to, transform themselves, either improve their fitness or to, change their body composition or achieve a goal, we usually throw everything at the wall. We throw everything that we can and we utilize all our spells, and then we get stuck because then we go, well, what do we do next once we've used them all? Nick, like, have you experienced that in your time as a fitness, either athlete yourself or as a fitness coach, where you might speak to someone who utilizes, all their cards at once? And, what do you think we're talking about here when we're saying utilizing all the cards at once?
Well, see, the thing is, if you don't even know what your cards are, how can you use them? So your cards are your food intake, your calorie intake, and your energy output. So they're the biggest cards. Plus also you've got all the like, just say that they're the main, like that's your sword and your shield. And then as a little wizardy thing, you would have all your spells and stuff. So that's your sleep and recovery, things like that. But they should always be there. So they should be your protection spells, if you like. Oh my gosh, here we go.
Yes, got Nick into the wizards. All right.
Coming out. So I get, so with often you find that people will commit to a plan, and of course they're like, I want to do the right thing. And so they will drop all their food, whatever it was. They'll say, okay, I'm not eating anything anymore. This is exaggerating, but and then I'm going to walk from here to Sydney, and that's and then also not only that, I'm going to start to train not 0 days, but 7 days a week. and I'm going to do everything, and I'm going to, that's it for me. And then I'm going to cut out all my wine, and I'm going to cut out all my chocolate. And that's like, I often see that, and it's basically that all or nothing sort of thing. But, and of course, for something like a 12-week challenge, it's a great idea to set yourself up where you do cut out certain things that are bad habits. But for life, you want to figure out how to set yourself up so you're not sort of shooting all those bullets, like especially with that delicate balance between food and energy output. You know, the idea, Steve, is to actually, like, this is, you know, a golden card. You actually want to eat as much as you can and do the least amount possible for weight training to elicit results. And then when that stops working, that's when you can kind of open it up a little bit. And that's what we want to teach people, because we don't want to teach people to be lazy or anything. It's not that. It's actually the mindset of less can be so much more, can't it?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, those sayings of, you know, going from zero to 100, or, you know, going, quote, balls to the wall, right? You know, these sayings are things that we see not only in the fitness space, we see them in lots of things. You know, you want to start playing a new instrument, you just start playing that instrument, you know, 100 hours a day, because, you know, there's 100 hours in a day, right? But, you know, yeah, we kind of go completely head over heels into something, which ultimately leads to things like burnout, which ultimately leads to things like injuries, you know, just mental or physical fatigue, and then ultimately failure in this achieving the goal. So we do kind of need to play this tortoise and the hare approach, where we go, okay, well, we need to pace ourselves, and we don't need to, you know, sprint the way there. It really is, you know, a little bit of a journey, a little bit of a marathon, and, you know, we've got to slowly make our way there. And I think the first one we can kind of speak about is our overall energy intake, right? And that's probably the first thing that I see in the challenge and in the fitness space that I see people, is this, you know, compulsion to want to just completely cut their energy intake. And often that is shown as, you know, oh, I want to cut my carbs, or I want to, you know, completely restrict my food intake, or follow a time-restricted eating window, or completely drop an entire food group for whatever reason. And look, in some cases, that can be helpful. We can't completely negate that, where in some cases, if you're an elite level bodybuilder, you know, about to step on stage, you need to pull all the you know, the rabbits out of the bag and go, okay, well, what am I going to do to try to get that extra 1%? But
yeah, that's that final level of the game.
Yeah. If you're someone maybe like, I don't know, you and I, normal people, we just want to be fit and healthy and active, we want to, like what you said, be trying to eat as much food as we possibly can, to have as much energy, train with the most minimal effective volume that we possibly can, and then still see progression, where we don't want to be in a position where we're starving ourselves. We don't want to be in a position where we're hating our diet. And if you hate your food intake, that's going to lead to things like binging. It's going to lead to you looking for things like cheat meals. It's going to lead to things like metabolic adaptation, where you don't see any results anymore. So you got to keep cutting those calories until you see those results. And the next thing you know, you're having 800 calories a day. You hate your life. You got the shakes when you're training, and then you ultimately give up because you're like, this isn't for me, right?
That's such a good point though, where look, I think myself, I've got a very strong mindset. So I've always, previously, before I knew anything, I would be like, well, I'm going to defy that. I'm not going to eat this, and I'm not going to eat that, and I'm not going to listen to what anyone says, because I'm going to be the exception. However, the thing is, your body is going to make the decision for you at some point. Mm-hmm. Unless you can figure it all out, your body is going to decide for you. And so the metabolic adaptation is the key, because it doesn't matter what your mindset is, you can't override that one.
No.
So if you can learn about it, that's helpful, isn't it?
I think you said it there, where people would start a journey, you know, try to achieve a goal, and let's use the challenge as an example. So they start the challenge and they come in with that mindset of, you said it just before, I'm the exception. I'm different. I'm not like everybody else. And I hate to say this, you know, you're not the exception. You're not a snowflake. You're just another person like us. You know, there's more, we have more things in common than we do differences. And, you know, regardless of your weight, your age, or your weight, or your height, or any predisposing factors, or if you have X, Y, and Z condition, the same principles apply to you, where, you know, it's energy in, energy out when we're trying to manipulate our body composition. Even when it comes to strength training, when it comes to, you know, endurance events, when it comes to sports competitions, we're really trying to find a balance with our energy intake versus our energy expenditure, trying to manage things things like fatigue, progressive overload, all these good principles that, you know, we know we use as common language, but there might not be a pure understanding when it comes around to those principles. But at the end of the day, you know, you are not a snowflake. You're not a super, you know, exception to the rule. And if you do want to go, you know, really deep into it and start cutting lots of food and, you know, doing lots of exercise, you know, that's ultimately going to lead to a thing like a burnout, right? And I think a lot of it comes down to maybe a little bit of, you know, ego in there. And I'm talking about ego as a bad thing, you know, ego as in self-worth. And it, you look, it might even be grounded in things like language that we use, and you see it in media where, you know, oh, no pain, no gain, or, you know, it's got to be hard, or heck, the challenge, it's got to be challenging. You know, it needs to be hard, or I'm not going to see results. I need to be, you know, forged in the fire so that I can get this change. I'm going to be like a diamond and I need pressure. And sometimes, you know, that's helpful where we go, okay, sometimes we need that bit of a push, but a lot of the times to achieve our goal, it doesn't need to be a strenuous, hard slog. It doesn't need to be something that's really super challenging or super committing. It can just be, you know, really small steps over time, right? You know, that kind of saying of 1% every day, you know, leads to these really massive improvements. You don't need to throw all your cards all at once, because that ultimately leads to failure.
Yeah. See, 1% every day is so much better than even, you know, 5%, but then you stall. And that's sort of what happens if you throw all your cards. You might see a big change initially, and that's great. But then you'll want more and it won't be coming. And you will want more because you might say, oh, no, I'm happy there. But you won't be, because as humans, we always want to improve. So once you get to that next bit, just know that you need the tools to be able to then go, what can I do here? You want to have everything with you where you go, okay, what can I do here? You want to make intelligent choices. Mm-hmm. So we want to start you off. That's why it starts off quite high with the food as well. So then down the track, we can take it away a little bit and see what happens. Yeah. That's the other thing. People need to remember also then when the food gets taken away, energy balance goes down when you are eating less. You don't necessarily then need to do more exercise, do you?
No. And that's, we see that in the challenge. Yeah.
You don't have to suddenly go, I'm taking all this away and then I'm going to do this. It's actually supposed to be a dance between the two.
Yeah. It really is closer to a philosophy. As a side question, do you like baking? Do you do lots of baking at home?
Is this a trick question?
No. You know, do you like making things like, you know, cookies or cakes or anything like that?
Well, I personally these days let my kids do that. So they will do it. And that just simply because of like my goals, one of my Achilles heels would be like raw cookie dough. It's a mixture. And it has to be very well done, doesn't it? It has to be perfect.
It does. And I think, you know, sometimes when we go into, you know, cooking mode, let that be baking or cooking or, you know, following a recipe, what tends to happen is, you know, you might follow the recipe the first time, and then the next time you do it, you might try to change, you know, a few things. You might add more flour, then decide to add more water. And it's like, oh, I'm going to throw in an egg this time and some cinnamon. And then it comes out and you're like, cool, that wasn't very good. And the next time you're like, well, I'm going to throw in a bunch of sugar, some more flour, maybe some milk and some butter, because I saw online that someone said that would be helpful. And I'm going to put it in the microwave before I put it in the oven. And it comes out and it's like, that's not good. And then the next time you do it, you decide to boil the water first before you put it in. And then you add in the milk next. And then you decide to blend it in the blender before you add the butter, right? And I guess it's got to be better. And I think sometimes what problems we face is that we kind of change too many variables at the same time. And, you know, we start to be influenced by lots of different things. We change lots of things at once. And then we don't know what change we made that positive or negative outcome. And the same thing brings it all the way back to the challenge, where if we are in a position where we decide to, you know, let's say cut all our calories, we remove food groups, we decide to do more steps, more exercise, we start playing a sport, and we introduce some new supplements and then completely change our diet. Okay, you've manipulated, you know, half a dozen variables there. If you see a change, you don't know what variable made that change. If you don't see a change, you don't know what variable did that. Or if you see a negative change, you don't know what variable did that. So then we're not making smart decisions anymore. We go, well, you've done, you know, 10 different things. How do you know what worked, right? How do you know what led you into the positive direction and what led you to just being stagnant? And then what's going to happen is you're going to try to change more things. And then you end up in that cycle where you're, you know, jumping from program to program, from diet to diet. You know, you can't follow a training program. You can't even commit to an exercise program because one day you want to do group fitness. The next day you want to do resistance training. Then you want to go for a run, then a swim, and then throw in, you know, an online boxing class or something like that. You don't know what you want. And then you end up just being lost. And you're like, well, what am I trying to achieve here? I'm just, I don't know. You know, I'm a little bit lost, right? So I think if we get to a point where we want to change lots of things and we're trying to play all our cards at once, that can be self-limiting because we don't know where we're going. We've just reached a plateau and we're just spinning around in circles and we're not getting anywhere. You know, we're ultimately all trying to go north, right? We're trying to, you know, get better to go that way. Some of us want to go, you know, northwest, and some of us want to go slightly northeast. Sure. But we're all going in that direction. We're all trying to get healthier. But the worst thing you could do is just stand there spinning in circles, not sure which direction you're going to start walking, right?
Yeah. I notice it a lot. I've worked with a lot of women over the years, and it's just some sort of a thing that we have where it's like you've got to take so much stuff away to actually then get whatever result it is. And a tip that I have for women is sometimes just eat and lift your weights and concentrate on, first of all, the weight numbers going up. And that is such an exciting thing, those strength goals. And then after that, concentrate on the next step. So that's my little hot tip. There's a nice little card that I would always say to start with. If someone goes, well, where do I start? Even if you're in the middle now, like where do you just think about those numbers? Think about those strength numbers. Is there anything better, Steve, than apart from eating like a huge bowl of spaghetti, like going into the gym and, you know, just finding those numbers and going, I beat that. It doesn't matter what the number is, but that is such a nice place to start. That's really such a nice little card to play. Just a secret little card.
I think that many of us, when we start a fitness journey, we kind of get thrown in the deep end, right? And that might not be helpful where we're starting to tell you to, you know, start tracking your steps, start tracking your weight, start tracking your body weight, start tracking your sleep, start tracking, you know, the food that you're eating, all the things. So we start to tell you to look at lots of different things, and that can be overwhelming. That can lead us to, you know, wanting to change lots of things. And sometimes we just need a simple starting spot. We need to find our first card, right? That first card gets dealt.
And also now that you mentioned steps as well, it's also like in no way in the challenge are steps the main focus. It's just a side thing. It's just, it's something that you just need to do. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't matter how you do them, because there's lots of questions of, do I have to start the steps after I've done my other steps? It's like, no, your steps are just your steps. So they're not the main focus. It's not a step challenge. This is just to get you moving, to get your daily exercise up, your NEAT up. So that's just one thing that's worth pointing out. So that's also, that's one of those spells.
One of those spells.
Well,
the steps are there as, for the majority of people, it's not something that we even need to consider, where for the majority of people, we are physically active. You know, we work a job where we do 10,000 steps before midday. Like for the majority of people, we don't even need to pay attention to it. Like for me, I don't wear a smart tracker. Like I don't track my steps to the number. I have a pretty good understanding of how physically active I've been. You know, have I walked a dog today? Yes or no? Have I walked it twice? Yes or no? Have I been sitting down all day, you know, answering questions and emails and things like that? Yes or no? So I've got a pretty good understanding. However, there's some people that join the challenge who have no idea how much physical activity they do. And just being aware of how many steps they do might be, you know, the first spell that they use, being like, oh, geez, I only do 2,000 steps a day. Maybe I should be more physically active. That could be the first card that they play, the first spell that they use, and going, hey, like, here's my first fireball. Whoosh, I can just increase my steps before you do anything, right?
Yeah.
Then, you know, that could be their first spell. For another person, their first spell could be that they, you know, start going to the gym and they start recording their weights, and they know that, okay, my max on a squat is just the barbell, 20 kilos. That's the most I can lift for 10 reps before I start falling over, my heart rate's beating, my muscles are burning. That's the max I could do. That's the first bell. You write it down. And then, you know, you every time that cooldown's over, you know, a week, you go and play that spell again. You go, oh, hey, now I can add little 1.25 kilos to the bar. Okay, I'm slowly improving. Who cares what I'm eating? Who cares how many steps I'm doing? Who cares, you know, what my anything else is like? You know, I'm just going to focus on this small window, this one spell where I'm focusing on getting stronger in this position. Then once you feel comfortable in that, you know, that training window, like you said, then we can start looking at other things where we go, okay, let's now focus on my step count. Am I doing all the steps? Yes, great, cool. That spell is set. That card is set. All right, what's the next thing? Oh, am I having adequate protein in the day? Oh, geez, I only eat 50 grams of protein. Maybe I should increase that. So then we start, you know, adding lots of layers to it. And then soon we'll build that cake. Soon we'll defeat that boss in the video game. Soon we'll be able to play poker with all of our cards, right? Well, soon we'll be able to put it all together. But if we start with everything, then you know, we have nowhere to go. We end up being lost.
That's right. Because your cake is baked and that is the end of that. And it may not come out the right way.
But your cake's burnt.
Yeah, that's right. It's burnt. It needs to be thrown away. I'd probably still eat that cake right now.
But I think, you know, it's important to talk about, you know, why does this happen, right? Why do we, you know, why do we want to kind of throw all the cards at once? Why do we want to play all our spells? Why do we want to, you know, throw everything in the cake mix jar and then chuck it in the oven at 200 for 40 minutes? You know, why do we want to do these things?
I think it's also probably because just say that fitness hasn't been your thing. And, you know, like say you build a new house and you want all the furniture at once. You want to get everything. You want to just set it up and that's that. You might not be able to afford it, or you might not even know the layout yet, but you want everything at once. That's the same as fitness. If it's your first time, you just want it all. And also you're very keen. That's the thing, like nothing against anyone, because you're keen. You're like, I want to set myself up. I want to get the starter pack. I want to get going and I want it all. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, mm-hmm. you know, it's coming from a good place.
I think
it is. And also we've been taught also that, you know, if you work hard, all the memes that are out there, you know, yeah, if you work hard, then you know, the results will come straight away. That's not even a meme, but, you know, I don't want to say no pain, no gain, but I've said it. So that kind of a thing, that's what we're taught. And it's also like gym culture teaches you, you know, do this, sign up and do this. And then obviously eat less of this. And of course, that's also like anyone that sort of grew up in the aerobics culture of the 80s or anything, where it's basically was just run around and eat less.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we were taught. It's only recently that it's really about fueling your body. And we've seen a lot of people who are even, you know, bodybuilders unable to compete. They're having their big off seasons where they fuel their body. So it's a good time for us all to take a step back and go, wait a minute. More is good as well.
I think most of us in the fitness space are, you know, we're slowly becoming smarter. You know, we're researching more, we're learning more, you know, we're becoming more educated, right? Especially when we start to compare ourselves to, you know, maybe decades ago where we simply just didn't know, right?
We've done it ourselves. That's also why I think when we've done it and we're like your test cases now, the people that are currently in the industry living and breathing it, it's like, wait a minute, I've done that. And I'm telling you, just please don't do it, because I fixed myself.
Yeah. I do think that we are, as more people enter the fitness space and join the fitness hobbies, this fitness lifestyle, we all come from an age now where we kind of want things instantly, you know, like we want it now, right? We want this instant gratification. And, you know, it doesn't help when we see marketing like, oh, you know, get a six pack in 4 weeks guaranteed, or, you know, have this wonder drug and you'll, you know, lose 10 kilos in a week, or, you know, we want things now. And some of us are not willing to accept that, hey, this might take time. You know, if you're 140 kilos and you want a six pack, okay, this might take a bit of time. You know, we might be looking at a year before we see some good quality change in your body, right? You want to grow some muscle. Well, you might be waiting a long time, especially if you've been training for 3 years. It's like, well, you're getting close to your potential. You know, we need to find, you know, new things to move towards. So some of us just need to take a step back and go, okay, we need to understand that this is a bit of a process. It is going to take a bit of time. We need to be a bit patient, and we need to slowly add things to our program rather than all at once, because our body takes time to adapt to that. So the first thing would be, yeah, like that instant gratification, it exists. And even for me, like I go to the gym and, you know, if my weights aren't improving, I'm one to be edging, being like, oh, I'm just going to add a little bit more to the bar. But what that does is, you know, it pushes my overreaching capacity and my as layers of fatigue, it might, you know, put my body in positions that it's not ready for, which could risk, you know, things like, you know, little aches and niggles and pains and things like that, which ends up slowing me down. So my drive for constant improvement, my drive for results is the reason why I'm not getting results sometimes. So it is a little bit of a balancing act where I go, hey, like right now I'm not ready to progress. Right now, you know, I've got to start finding all my cards and going, well, what do I need to fix first before I, you know, push myself this way? Before I reduce my food, should I fix my sleep? Yeah, I should. Before I reduce my food, should I drink more water? Yeah, I should. Before I do this, you know, should I do this? Yes, I should.
Should I count my food properly as well? Like
exactly,
you know, real about it. Yeah. Like if you think you're eating, and this is the truth, like, I mean, unless you have it like specifically weighed and measured everything, you know, if you think you're eating 1,800 calories, chances are your body's probably used to about 2,200, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. It's actually really good because it means that you can calculate it and start to reduce. People are eating more than what they think they are.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. All of us.
I think there is a tendency for people to use something like the challenge, to use something like fitness, to use something like reduction in foods and dieting culture as kind of like a compensation, kind of like a punishment where, you know, they might have, had a few drinks on the weekend. So then they have to compensate by, you know, working harder in the gym, by, you know, doing an extra 10,000 steps and doing an extra cardio session and then doing an extra, you know, 10 sets of bench press or whatever it is, right? Or they might, you know, starve themselves for a day because they had a cheeseburger on the weekend or something like that. You know, do you see, you know, people within your circles, maybe like yes, punishing themselves with exercise or
definitely, you know? Definitely. I mean, running spin classes as I do, it does attract, it attracts type A personalities, people that are very, they want to achieve, they're actually really usually very good in business. They own their own businesses. They get up at 5:45 to just go on that bike, but you see that I'll often be told, you know, make this class harder because I had this and that on the weekend, or how can we make sure that we burn this off? And I always just say you cannot out-train a bad diet. You know, that's the main thing. I mean, you can have that. You can have whatever you want, but if you expect that the energy output is going to magically cancel out like a special cancellation cloak, like, ooh,
invisibility cloak.
Yeah, we can't. You can't cancel it out. You just cannot. It just, because it just doesn't work in the body like that. Mm-hmm. It simply doesn't. Especially alcohol, because alcohol. It's not bad in itself. I'm just saying, like, maybe like if you have a specific goal, you don't know what that alcohol is necessarily going to be doing within your body, how it's going to be processing. We have a better idea of other things. It's just, yeah, alcohol basically sits there and goes first in the queue, you know, and everything else just lines up behind it. Like maybe the things that you ate with the alcohol, that they'll be lining up going, hang on, I'm not getting processed. So anyway, yes, I do. I see it a lot. And I've had to even, you know, sort of in a nice way, stop the Zoom and say, hang on, guys, this isn't about calories here. You know, often people will look at calories on a machine, like a bike behind me, and they'll go, I burnt this amount of calories. Now, that the machine doesn't know what you are or what you're doing. So you will never be right. But you can use it as a tool to go, every time I do this amount, like just as a benchmark. But it's not an equation. It doesn't exist. This equation doesn't exist. So stop trying to make it exist. Yeah. So as soon as you learn that, you can go, okay, I want to drink this wine. I want to do that. But possibly the best thing to do after that, and I'm not helping anyone do this, but you need to hydrate and sleep rather than punish yourself with exercise, because exercise actually causes inflammation in your body. It's another thing that your body has to recover from.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like our game, Steve, that we're going to make is called the recovery game. How quickly can I recover in the best way possible?
Yeah.
That's how you get the results.
Yeah. I'd say when we look at like strength and conditioning principles, you know, number one would be specificity, right? You know, target what you're trying to achieve, right? Number two would be something like overload or progressive overload, where we're trying to, you know, slowly progress over time. And then probably number three would be fatigue management, right? Where we're trying to manage our fatigue levels, right? Because there's a whole bunch of other variable principles, but that would be like, you know, one, two, three, right? And often, you know, we want to do more, but we're not even considering, you know, how are we going to recover from that? You want to do more cardio? Great. How are you going to recover from that? Like, okay, well, you're going to need to find time because time recovers from that. Are you putting in all the other good variables to help that recovery? Yes or no, you know, those types of things.
You're not invincible, because I mean, I used to do like maybe 20 to 25 hours of spin and then maybe 6 hours of weights. And I thought I was recovering very well from that because I was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just being alive was obviously my way of thinking that I'd recovered.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was still like a giant praying mantis stick figure with all the weights that I could lift. I would rock up and people would go, I can't even believe you can lift those weights. I didn't have any upper body strength. I didn't have anything because my body was not recovering. So it was probably eating myself up from the inside. I don't even know how this happened. But like, I'm just saying, I've been through this. So I have to remind myself sometimes, I have to go, more is not more. If like, just say my weight goes up for something, the first thing I will do now is go take a nap, take a nap, chill out, have some water, and usually that's enough to get rid of any inflammation in my body. So I'm like sort of starting to be that finely tuned, but it takes a while. And I can just tell you, I thought I was invincible, you know?
Because you're like on card number, you know, 25 down the line, right? You know, if you're in a position where you're starting to think about your inflammation, okay, you better have everything else in line before you even start touching that kind of stuff. But we face that problem where, you know, we've got our priorities completely wrong. We face that problem where people will come to the challenge. We're like, oh, I'm worried about inflammation. It's like, oh, hold on. Whoa, pull yourself back. All right. Just give you a second. All right. Let's just think about our energy balance first. Let's just think about
the cards are there. Like, you know, my meals are in my fridge and I'm aware of every little thing. And I know my measurements every day and that sort of stuff. Yeah. So I can play the inflammation card, you know.
That spell, that's a unique spell.
I know, you get that later. But it's you could take it back and just go, do I need, you know, if I'm somebody who gets up early and goes to the gym, do I need to stay up and watch that last episode of something, you know, and sometimes the answer is yes for your mental health, but other times it's like, no, I need to actually go to sleep. And then you'll see changes happen. Sleep is so important.
Yeah.
Recovery. I'm all about recovery now. And see, I was just about to say, which is so wrong, I was about to say I've turned soft. And the thing is, that is exactly the kind of language that we don't want to use, because I haven't. I've turned smart.
I think you're right when you kind of look at that idea between, oh yeah, I'm hardcore, you know, I'm, you know, I go to the gym 7 days a week, plus I do, you know, X amount of cardio, and I'm, you know, I lift all the weights and I, you know, do all the things, like I'm hardcore. And then, you know, if you're not doing that, you know, you're not in the group, you're not like a, you know, a bodybuilder, you're not like an athlete or whatever it is, right? But then now you're somewhat, I don't know, soft because you don't do those things. But really, you know, it's kind of like you're smart, right? Like for me, like I, once upon a time used to be kind of, I don't know, quote, hardcore, you know, I would be training like a bro split. So I'll do, you know, legs, I'd have a bicep day, I'd have a tricep day, I'd have a shoulders day, you know, like I'd have all the days, right? And I thought I needed to do more. And I'm sure you did the same thing. I think we've all been there, right? And then
I don't know how I'm alive.
Right. I took advantage of my 20s. I mean, like now as I age, and I'm younger than most people in the challenge, but you know, I need to start considering these things. And over time I've gotten slowly smarter. I don't know many things. I know some things, but I don't know lots of things. But as I become smarter, I go, well, hey, like training like a animal or training hard or, you know, being hardcore isn't really the smart way to do it. It isn't long term, doesn't have longevity in mind. And heck, I probably saw the best results when I stopped doing my bro split 7 days a week of bicep day and go back to, you know, 3 days a week of just a squat, a deadlift, and a bench press. That's probably where I saw my best results, because I was able to recover it was the classic principle of less is more. And then my weights went through the roof. Like I started, you know, bench pressing 3 plates. I started deadlifting 5 plates. I was like, this is great. Before I used to struggle with like, you know, a 60 kilo bench press, and now this is awesome. So I saw really great results when I kind of just went back to basics. You know, I took that step back so that I could progress. And if you found yourself in that position where you are super tired, you are stressed, you're on the brink of giving up in the challenge, you know, you think that you're doing everything, maybe you do just need to, you need to just scale it back slightly, where you and become
focus
this
on one thing.
Focus on one thing, get the, like nail one card, like nail that one spell and then play the next one, you know, then we slowly build ourselves up, right? Then we get to the point where we're baking this amazing cake, we're getting this transformation that we want, right? And then we're doing it forever, where we don't need to go into these extreme diets. We don't need to do anything crazy. We go, hey, this is just what I do for life now, and I'm happy with what I am, right?
And also the other thing is, say if you go, I'm just going to out train and out cardio everything and just go for a run 20 million times, if you know, if you're not a runner, just for something to burn things, it actually makes you very, very hungry. So you're gonna overeat a lot more than what you know, you find yourself reaching for a lot of things. So like if you over cardio or you don't sleep well, those two things are going to make you overeat.
Yeah.
The other thing, that's a top tip.
Do you have any tips for someone who is experiencing any overtraining or experiencing fatigue? So how would you determine if you are personally, you know, doing too much or are fatigued or
okay, you know? So for me, like, I mean, probably the definition of doing too much is still me, because I get up at 5:45 and I've done like 2 spin classes and I'll do a weight class and stuff. But see, because that is my normal, not, you know, and then a weight training session, that is my normal. So within my normal, so you have to establish each person's normal. Mm-hmm. Within my normal, I find that if I'm not sleeping well, once again to the sleep, restless, if I feel too hungry, like if my appetite suddenly spiked, not if I've done a big lifting session or something, that's fair. That's actually really good. But if it's just I'm reaching for stuff because I'm just exhausted. Mm-hmm. Also my attitude. I can tell straight away because generally I'm pretty positive and I'm pretty towards my goals and I've got a pretty good attitude towards everything and I'm pretty grateful. If I start to be too negative, I feel like that's a really big sign for me. So my mindset blows on me and I'm like, and then I think that that's normal and I'm like, well, you know, everything's bad and I'm like the Grinch and then I know that I'm just exhausted. And so sometimes like if someone's feeling like quitting the challenge, it may be that you've just reached that sort of top of that mountain without your armor and you know, the wind is just around you. I'm picturing this video game again. And, you know, you've got nothing, you know, you don't even have your wizard sword. So you might need to just retreat into a little cave. I'm sure that there's something, just retreat into your cave and get everything together again. Mm. So yeah, for me, I could tell. I know very, very much because it's a delicate balance with me. Yeah. And it's too delicate almost. It's just that this is the way it is. So it's been like this for like 20 years. So it's not going to change. But if you're just starting off, you want to make sure that like everything's stacked up so well that nothing can collapse on top of itself. But I think peel it back, take a good look at it all if it's overwhelming. The other thing is that I want to say is if people feel like quitting, the thing is, what are you going to be like in a year's time? Because what you're going to do is you're going to restart. It's inevitable that you're going to restart when you've got a new mindset. So why not just keep going now? Don't you reckon?
Yeah. I think you nailed it where we've got to kind of establish your normal first, right? So like my normal might be slightly higher than the next person's normal or slightly lower than the next person's normal. That's okay. And there is actually a little bit of sports science in there. And we call it the acute to chronic ratio, where we compare what we've done acutely, either on the day or the week average, and compare that to chronic. So over, you know, this 4 to 6 week period. So for example, you know, we look at training volume and you might average 100 sets of exercise per week over the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks after last month. And that's like the chronic average. So that's your average for the week. If you were to then, you know, increase your acute training volume over the week, so you change from 100 sets on average to, I don't know, 150 sets on average, that's an increase of 50%. That's a little bit too high. So we want to be aiming for maybe this 10 to 20% kind of change. So there is a little bit of science behind it. And there is, you know, for the reductionists out there that want to think of a number, you know, okay, there is some, you know, quantitative things that we can look at. But for me, when I know that I'm tired, especially when I'm training, I know when I'm tired, I start yawning in the gym. So in between sets, if I know that kind of my central nervous system is fatigued or I'm just kind of like tired, I might have the best night's sleep, but as soon as I start yawning, I know that it's time to pack my bags, time to go home. Like I'm done. I might as well, I'll probably get a better workout just doing the dishes at home than I am right here with this bar on the floor trying to pick it up. So for me, I know that that's a qualitative assessment where, you know, that's a self-reflection. If I yawn, yep, game over for me. But then I also kind of monitor how much training I do. And then also similar to my food intake and such, where I kind of picture what my average is. And if it's above my average, okay, it's a little bit too much. And I slowly build up over time or slowly decrease over time as I adapt.
You're lucky. Well, not lucky is not lucky. You and I, we're established, so we can actually be intuitive. It's like we've got this, and then we can see when there's a downturn or a spike somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just from many, many years of building those layers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important to start by writing all this information down, mm-hmm. you know, for yourself and having a little logbook and even just having a little daily reflection on how you feel mm-hmm. and what's going on for you every day and what was your sleep like, what was your food, what mm-hmm. food timing works for you, mm-hmm. you know, like I think as you said in one of the lives, you know, some people don't do well eating too late, some people do. There's no magic about it. It mm-hmm. just depends how you feel. You know, sometimes if you eat too late, it just digesting at nighttime might not give you the best night's sleep. That's nothing to do with being fat. Mm-hmm. It's not about fat. It's just about you know, just going to sleep and maybe on a full tummy, it might not be good. But for other people, like, you know, say certain meals can be quite relaxing for mm-hmm. your body. And, you know, like with potassium in them, they're very nice for good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. That's why some people say to have a banana before mm-hmm. bedtime, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's whatever works for you. But the thing is, you need to empower yourself to find what works for you within the parameters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mm-hmm. won't know unless you maybe do like one step at a time, track one variable at a time. Don't play all your cards at once because then you're going to be stuck with nothing. Then you end up in these really awkward positions where you're eating such a small amount of food. You're trying to do so much exercise. You're achy. You're in pain. You're so fatigued that you're barely doing exercise anymore. You're just, you know, going through the motions of it. Then when you come to us asking for help, we go, well, you just need to bring it back to the basics. And you go, well, no, I'm hardcore. I'm advanced. Yeah. I need to do all the things. And we go, well, you need to fix the basics first before fix anything.
We have nowhere to go with you mm-hmm. if you are doing 40,000 steps and eating 800 calories. We have nowhere to go other than the other way. Mm-hmm. We have to retreat and we have to rebuild you. So we would straight away say do less, eat more, because there's nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm. So we don't want you to end up there. We want you to be somewhere on the path in the middle where you can deviate at any time. But there's no good can come from being there. I'm doing I'm doing big hands.
Yeah.
You can't see that. But, you know, when everything's too far apart, we have to bring it back together, and that takes time to rebuild.
It does. Mm. It does. You don't want to be on. You don't want to be on level 10 in your video game and trying to challenge a level 90 boss. It's not going to work out for you.
Oh my gosh!
Even with all your spells and your little wizard stick and maybe your invisibility cape, you might not get there. Like, sure, you might be the best player in the world. You might know all the things and the most skilled person going around. But you know, if you're not there yet, you know you're not there yet. So be patient.
These spells, can you? They're very important, and yeah, you can't fake them. No. And you can't trick us.
You can't trick yourself either, your body.
No, well, that's the thing, like we've seen it. You can't trick yourself, you can't trick your body. You can trick your mind, but your body is not gonna lie.
No. Well, look, let's wrap it up there. You know, in a super summary of what we've spoken about today is that don't try not to get caught up with all doing all the things all at once. You know, we need to slowly build ourselves over time, not throw all the cards on the table. Don't change the recipe completely. Don't use all your spells all at once. We want to slowly utilize all the tools in our toolkit so that we can continue to see progress, that we can achieve the goal that we want. We don't want to be in a position where we're so burnt out, so tired, so sore, everything in between, that we ultimately give up on our goals. We want you to achieve your goals. And sometimes we need just a little bit of patience to get there.
Yes. Perfect. Perfect. Less is more. It really is.
Less is more.
I said it.